Blog Talk Radio.
There is a definite need for training the laity. The Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. The laity. I would also point out that the Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. We have Ministry of Evangelism, Ministry of Communication, the Ministry of Laity Training, and also the Ministry of Clergy Training. UFCCM friends and supporters. This is Teacher Margaret Tindall extending a hearty welcome to all our listeners who are on the phone, who are on Facebook, and those at UFCCM.org listening on our website. This is the UFCCM Ministry of Laity Training Outreach Broadcast. We praise God for allowing us to come together to connect one more time by the means of Blog Talk Radio. We appreciate you, our listening audience, and are delighted that you have joined us today. I'm happy to have Elder Carolyn Hunt from First Church of Faith Power Deliverance, who is also my sister, I might add, but here with me today in the broadcast room. And I'm going to ask Elder Hunt if she would give us our opening prayer.
Praise the Lord. We go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, gracious God, once again, we honor you for this opportunity to come together. Father, through all the various media sources that you have given us to hear and to listen, to be taught from those who are wise, and to just receive what you have prepared for us today, we thank you for this Ministry of Laity Training through the auspices of the UFCCM. We thank you for all of those who work so diligently to assure that every month we have an opportunity to learn more and more about you. Father, bless the speaker today. Bless Bishop Kramer. Bless us, Lord God, that we will receive all that he has to share with us. Let the Holy Spirit speak through him, and Father, we will be richly blessed. We honor and thank you for these blessings and all others, and we ask them in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. We always start with prayer, and we know that God will, your Holy Spirit will show up and bless us as we go. We continue in this work that has been assigned to us, which is to fulfill the goals and purposes of the UFCCM Ministry of Laity Training. We are following the Lord's guidance as we try to reach out to as many as possible to prepare laity for works of service, with the goal that the body of Christ may be built up and matured spiritually. This year, our broadcasts are centered around the theme of our upcoming annual conference, which will be June 20th through 22nd in beautiful Charlotte, North Carolina. And the theme of our conference is Reaching Higher, based on Philippians 3, 13, and 14. And so all of our broadcasts are designed to correspond and encourage you to reach higher. We are so excited today to bring back Bishop J.G. Kramer to continue with part two of the teaching that he started last month on reaching higher in order to achieve God's plan for our lives. Bishop Kramer, as you know, is the jurisdictional bishop of the UFCCM Southeast Jurisdiction. He has been in ministry for over 50 years and served in just about every capacity in the church and in the body of Christ that one could serve. He and his lovely wife, Sister Elizabeth, have been married for 31 years, and they're such wonderful workers in the kingdom, giving to and working tirelessly in the Lord's work. And Bishop Kramer, we're so glad that you could be back with us today to share with us more on this powerful lesson. And before I turn this over to Bishop Kramer, I want to remind you listeners that there will be time after his presentation for you to call in with your questions and your comments and your words of encouragement as the Lord leads. Remember, if you're listening on Facebook or at the UFCCM website, you must use your phone to call in. And the call-in number is 347-850-1405. That is 347-850-1405. So at this time, let us bring before you Bishop J.G. Kramer.
Thank you, Teacher Tyndall. It is an honor and a blessing to be with you today and to share with all of our friends in the UFCCM as well as our listeners. I'd like to begin today's broadcast by doing a quick review of some of the things that we went over last time to bring all of you up to speed again. We were talking about achieving the plans that God has for us by reaching higher in the things that we do to bless and honor Him. We started our teaching last month with this question: plans, are they the Lord's plans or are they our plans? And that's a question we have to deal with, not just about plans, but in every area of our life. Are we doing the things that God wants us to do, or have we unconsciously allowed ourselves to follow our own path? So it's important that we make sure that we are fulfilling the plans that God has for us. Some people say to me, well, what is God's plan for me? Well, there are some similarities in all the plans that God has for us as a body, because we are a unified body. But even at that, those plans take some different paths in each of our lives. So it's important that we give ourselves to finding the Lord's will and His plan for our lives, and then asking for the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit as we strive to achieve that plan that God has laid out for us. We shared a little bit of a definition of a plan. It's a scheme that is devised, a project, the form of something to be done, existing in the mind, because God speaks to us through our spirit and through our mind, with the several parts adjusted in idea, expressed in words, or committed to writing as the plan of a construction of government, the plan of a treaty, or the plan of an expedition. In other words, we don't do anything very much without a pre-plan. If we go on vacation, then we make a plan to go on vacation. If we're going on some sort of a church retreat, we plan for those things. If we are a leader in our local church and they've asked us to teach a class, we have to plan. So plans are a part of our everyday life in one aspect or another. So it's very important that we look at it in those terms. I want us to understand one vital truth up front. God always works His plan through divine order. We said that last time, but I just want to reiterate that. God always does everything that He does in divine order. And we're told to do the things that we do and let them be done decently and in order. And we're talking about God's order, divine order. Can you and I say that we do that all the time? That we operate in divine order in the execution of the plans that we have laid out for us. If we do, what do our efforts look like? Are they purposeful and smooth, or are they surrounded by chaos and confusion? Let me just say quickly, if the things that you're doing create confusion and strife and turmoil in your life, you probably need to take a look at them, because God is a God of order. He is not a God of strife, and he's not a God of confusion. So it's very important that we seek God in the things we do. And our text scripture for this teaching comes from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 to 14. He said, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will come and call me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart." And then verse 14, "I will be found of you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place that is back to Israel, from which I carried you into exile." This passage of scripture was written to the children of Israel who were in captivity. And we need to be careful often that we don't take a passage of scripture out of its context. Many of us could probably quote these verses by heart, but let's be careful not to take them out of context. The Lord was speaking to those that had been called or exiled to Babylon. However, I do believe that there are lessons we can draw today as we strive to identify and walk in the plans that God has for us. To look at this in a little shorter version, let's look at Jeremiah 29:11-13. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, says the Lord. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart." Then I shared with you something called an anachronism. That is when you take a word and you use the letters of that word to create something else. So we use the word plans, P-L-A-N-S, and we said that it could mean this: purpose laid out and new strategies released. And we've all dealt with anachronisms before, but for the purposes of our teaching, that's what we're going to use: purpose laid out and new strategies released. I believe that as we look at this passage of Scripture, there are seven lessons that we can draw from, and we went over some of those last time. If you remember, we first talked about the fact that God has perfect plans for us. Perfect plans. He said, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord." God knows the end from the beginning of everything that it touches our lives. Everything that we deal with, he knows all about it. We secondly said that he will prosper us and not harm us. Then we said he gives us hope and a future. My goodness. People without hope are really miserable folks, aren't they? People without a sense of a future are miserable. But I want you to remember that what God was saying here was to the children of Israel. He said, "You will be in captivity for 70 years, but when that captivity is over, these are the things that I'm going to restore to you. I'm going to reveal my plan for you. I'm going to prosper you and not harm you. I'll give you hope and a future." And that same truth can be applied to us today if we understand the context in which this was written and allow the Holy Spirit to work with us to speak to us. The other thing that we talked about last time is that he said, we will then call on him. He's talking about calling on the Lord, and we will pray to him. And that's where we got to last time. When God brings us out of a situation of captivity, whatever that captivity in our lives might be, there is a sense of joy and release and thanksgiving. And for the believer, we want to call on God and pray to him and give thanks, realizing what we've already said, that he has a perfect plan for us. He'll prosper us and not harm us, and he'll give us hope and a future. And so with that in mind, we'd like to go forward with our teaching today. Let me move forward here quickly. And I'll say this. When we're dealing with the strife and struggle and turmoil of life, we all have those issues. We need to understand that even when things look negative and dark to us, when it seems that evil is all around us, that God has promised good things to his children. Wow. That truth should give us great comfort. Even when our plans fail, God's plans will never fail. What God plans and sets out to do, he accomplishes for his glory and our good. Don't forget that. God is never planless. He always has a plan. And he's working that plan for his glory and for our good. Amen. Amen. Sometimes when we think about plans, we think, well, it's not coming about the way I thought it would. They're not meant to always. Sometimes things that we plan for are sometime in the future. For example, when God spoke through the prophets, some of those prophecies took hundreds of years to come to pass. Just because we don't get instant gratification on a word doesn't mean that God is not working in that word to bring us to a blessing, to a good end, to prosper us in some way. Wow. We also have to be confident of this fact. We have to know that whatever that future is, it will come to an end, and it will come to a good end. Hallelujah. All right, let's move forward just a little bit more. We're about to catch up to where we finished the last time. Again, we've said that he gives us hope in the future. The promises that God made were not merely spoken under his breath. They were declared openly to the children of Israel. And the Bible says that the promises of God are to them that believe, yea and amen. So be it. It is so. So be it. When God speaks a word to you, you can stand on that. God did not stutter at all when he gave us a promise. Nor did he have to go back and consult with Gabriel or any of the other heavenly host. When God declares something, he absolutely means for it to come to pass, and he says it openly. And his promises are as true and solid and worthy as today as they were when they were penned all those thousands of years ago. My goodness. When God speaks a word, it will continue to unfold throughout the ages. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We can be confident because God is not timid or shy like us. He's confident. Where we're weak, he's strong. Our faith and our hope are not our own plans, but they're God's sovereign purposes. My. That's just an awesome thought. We said also that when we come out of these places, call on him and we'll pray to him. It's amazing to me. Wouldn't it be wonderful to really know that all the things that you and I have spent so much time and energy fretting over, being worried about and concerned about, that all those things can be cast away by praying and calling on the Lord. Well, in fact, they can. He said in his word, call unto me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that just gets me running. Because God is faithful in every detail. We can put our trust in the promises of God. And he'll make a way for us, the Bible says, where there does not seem to be a way, according to Isaiah 46:13. It doesn't matter what the situation looks like. It doesn't matter what the circumstance looks like. If we understand that the promises of God are for us and that his plan is perfect for us and we're walking in the plan that he has shared with us, he has promised us to make a way, even though we might not see it immediately. It might not come in a week. It might not come in a month. We may not see it in a year, but we will ultimately see the way that God means for us to go if we're walking with him. That's one of the things that I have said over and over in my ministry. When I was about 5 years old, God spoke to me one day, and he shared some things with me, but one of the things he said to me was, if you'll just walk with me, I will unfold before you everything that I mean for you to have, to do, or to be. And let me tell you something. That promise is for any believer. If we'll walk with God, the Bible says he will not withhold any good thing from us if we're walking in his plan and his purpose. And we all have a purpose. It may not be fully revealed yet, but we have a purpose in God's economy. And just walk with him, and you will see it come to pass. Now, some of us have received words, and we've been told what we will do, and we're doing our best to try to be true to that and walk in that. But we need to understand. We all need to understand that God's time and a place for everything. The Ecclesiastes tells us that, says there's a time for every purpose under the heaven. It's God's timetable. So if we're walking with God, it's not as difficult to get ourselves in line with God's timetable, to see his plans, his purposes, and his promises to us come to pass. So we're pretty much up to where we were at the end of the broadcast last time. Let's look at the next concept here. I said there were seven lessons. This is lesson number five. He will then listen to us and hear us if we're walking with him. As we call upon God and come to him and pray to him, he promises us that he'll hear us. He'll not turn a deaf ear like some people do. He'll turn toward those who call on him with a sincere heart. My goodness, what a comforting thought that is. God is only a prayer away for most of us. He's closer to us than a brother, according to his own word. He said he sticks closer to us than a brother because he's our friend. He's called us brothers. He's called us friends. He's called us priests and kings. He's called us saints. We've been called so many things by God. And all of them foster that close, intimate relationship. And I don't know about you, but I desire that intimate relationship more and more and more so that I can confidently say I'm walking with the Father daily. So let us take a quick break here, and we'll be back in just a few moments to pick this up again.
Blessings. We wish to remind you that the UFCCM is a international non-denominational Christian fellowship. And if you have any questions and interest in learning more about the UFCCM, go to ufccm.org, ufccm.org. We would love to hear from you. There you'll be able to go around and have a look at many of the areas of ministry and resources that we provide and that God has blessed us with, our annual conferences, and even local events. So go to ufccm.org, and we're looking to hear from you.
Amen. It's good to be back with you. We'll pick up where we left off. We were talking about the fact that God will listen to us and hear us when we call on Him. One of the things that I would like to emphasize here is that we can trust God to hear our cries for help in the same way that God heard His own Son. He is the God who hears. Don't forget that. He is the God who hears. He is the God who hears. Sometimes it may seem that the ceiling is brass and our prayers don't get above the ceiling, that our imploring of God doesn't get out of the walls of our house or our church or our car. But God is a God who hears His children, especially if we're walking with Him daily, if we're feeding at His table, on His Word, if we're listening for that voice of the Holy Spirit to speak to us. You see, when Jesus left, He said, I'm not going to leave you alone, but it's needful that I go away from you, because if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come. But when He who is the Comforter is come, He will bring to remembrance all things that I've ever said to you or told you or taught you. That's a little bit of a paraphrase. But the Holy Spirit will enlighten and remind us of the things that Jesus taught us when He was here, of the things that are contained in His Word, so that we can rely on Him with absolute, absolute authority. I'm just convinced that when we pray in that kind of an intimate relationship, when we call on God, He hears us. I know He does. And most of us, if not all of us as believers, have experienced times when we know that God heard our petition. We know that. The Bible says, and this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, then we know that we have the petition that we have desired of Him. How can we walk in that promise? Walk with Him in that intimate, personal relationship, trusting confidently that He hears you, and that what is being unfolded in your life is His perfect plan, His perfect will. Whatever word He has spoken to you, if it lines up with His word, then you can go to the bank with it. Our sixth lesson here is that we will seek Him and we will find Him. Not only will God hear us, but He promises that He will be found by us if we seek Him with our whole hearts. Wow. Not only will He hear us, but He promises that He will be found by us if we seek him with our whole hearts. What are you seeking? What are you seeking with all your heart? You know, there's a lot of different ways to look at this. When we talk about what we're seeking with all our heart, are we seeking riches? Are we seeking fame? Are we seeking comfort? Or are we seeking pleasure? If it's of God, he promises you that you will get the desires of your heart if it's God's will. But you'll only know that by walking with him. You'll only know that by being taught by his Spirit and by those whom he has given responsibility in your life. As you dig into the word and as you share with those that have responsibility for your souls. I want to ask you this question. Does God ever feel hidden or absent in your life? Do you know that God promises that he will be found by you? He really will. And I encourage you, don't give up. If it seems that God is absent or not with you, then maybe we need to look at where we're walking. Maybe we're not walking with him like we should. Maybe we're not in that intimate relationship with him like we should be. Because when we are, we will seek him and we will find him. That hope is grounded not in positive thoughts, but in God's word. The Bible says that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. When God says something, you can stand on it in absolute assurance, in faith, knowing that if God has spoken that word to you, he will perform it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't let yourself get into a place or a situation where God seems distant from you. He doesn't desire that, and you shouldn't desire it either. When we find ourselves thinking more about the things that we want more than what God wants, maybe it's time to reaffirm that relationship. Maybe it's time to say, Father, show me again that path you have for me to walk. And it's not a hard thing to do. We make it hard sometimes because of the things that we do. But it's not really hard. All you have to do is call on him, call on him, call on him, and he'll come and answer you. Now, I want to predicate that on this one thing. If we find ourselves going after the things of the flesh and the lust of our flesh, those will put us in a position of being outside of the will of God. Be careful about that. And by the way, if you find yourself in that situation, don't allow the enemy to beat you up. Just ask for God's forgiveness, repent, and begin to walk with him again. And our final lesson or thought in this series is that we must seek him with our whole heart. My goodness. When we seek God with our whole heart, he'll stir up himself to come and save us. Probably all of us at one time or another can testify to the fact that because we walk with God in a time of trouble, in a time of heartache, in a time of disaster or impending disaster, God has come and delivered us. He's come and saved us from that which the enemy desired to hurt us with. Gracious. The Bible says that we will hearken unto you, and I will be found of you, says the Lord. God has said it, and we may depend on it. What does the Bible say? Seek and you shall find. You'll receive. Knock and the door will be open to you. There's a general rule laid down here. And it is this. You shall find him when you search for him with all your heart. Now, that's a pretty big statement. I don't even really understand how much all my heart is. All I know is that I have a desire to walk with him intimately and personally daily. In seeking God, we must search for him. And we must do it with diligence. We must search diligently. That means fervently and with great desire, drive, if you will. We must search diligently for him. We must search for his directions in seeking him and encouragements to our faith and hope. Wow. Let me go back over that. We must seek him diligently and search for directions in our seeking of him and encouragements to our faith and hope. What does that mean? It basically, for lack of a better way to put it, it means to search for God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. Sell out and say, God, just like those before, I'll not let go of you until you bless me. You remember that story? He wrestled with the angel of the Lord, and he said, I'll not let go until you bless me. That should be our attitude. God, I need you, and I will not let go of you until you bless me. My goodness. That's pretty much doing it with your whole heart, soul, mind, body, and strength, I would say. We must continue seeking and taking pains in seeking as those that search. And this we must do with our heart. That is, in sincerity and uprightness. In sincerity and uprightness. And with our whole heart. That is, with vigor, fervency, putting forth absolute effort in prayer and seeking his will. And those who seek God will find him and shall find him their bountiful reward. Can I say that again? When we seek God fervently, with all our heart, soul, mind, body, and strength, as those who seek God have been promised, they will find him, and they will find, you will find, I will find, we will find him to be our bountiful reward. My goodness. When God spoke that to me and I wrote it down, I got so stirred up because I realize how many times and ways God has blessed me, helped me, delivered me, encouraged me, picked me up when I was down and discouraged, when I was being talked about. Well, it's certainly not on the order of what they did to Jesus, but God's word says, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. For great is your reward, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Good gracious. And it's just amazing to me how the word of God addresses all these different aspects of our lives and points us to following Jesus with all our heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. I want to say this to you as I get ready to close and we prepare to take some questions and answers. First of all, I hope this teaching has been a blessing to you. By the way, I need to back up just for a minute. When I talked about wrestling with the Lord, that was Jacob who wrestled with the Lord. And he said, I'll not let you go until you bless me. The Lord dislocated his hip. In other words, he put him in a position of absolute dependency. He couldn't let go and stand up. Maybe that's the way we need to think about God. God, I'm not going to let go until you bless me and be that determined. But I want to close this way. I pray that this has been a blessing and meet to you today, and that you will use these principles to follow hard after God as you seek and find His will and walk in His perfect plan for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank you, Teacher Tindall. I'll turn it back to you.
Blessings. Just wanted to let you know that if you press 1 on your phone right now, you'll be put into the call queue for questions and comments. We'll be able to see that you have a question or comment, and then appropriately we will call your area code and first 3 numbers of your phone. Then you'll know that we are putting you on, and you can go ahead with your question or comment. So press 1 on your phone now. Blessings.
Amen. Amen. Bishop Kramer, we want to just thank you for that beautiful presentation. I want to tell you, as you were speaking, I was sitting here with vigor and fervency, and I was feeling sincerity and uprightness and just reaching. I was physically reaching spiritually and physically, and I hope our listeners are stirred up in terms of reaching higher as we are kind of promoting that theme of our conference for this year, because it's possible to get there, but we got to reach. And we thank
Amen.
You so much for those principles that you have shared. I know that our listeners have been blessed by hearing this enlightening 2-part series that you have brought to our hearing. So we, as you mentioned, the floor is lines are open now for callers who want to call in, who have questions or comments about this powerful lesson. And we know we have a number of listeners on the line. Listeners, don't be shy, because the Holy Spirit may guide you to share something that will be a blessing to other listeners on the phone. But Bishop Kramer, again, we thank you for sharing this and making it so plain and just giving us stimulation that we will step into what God has for us. And we do have a caller on the line right now. Caller at 704 area code and 274. You're on the line.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Caller, are you there?
Yes. Can you all hear me?
Yes, we can, Bishop.
Yes, thank you. I really enjoyed the broadcast this morning. Bishop Kramer is such an excellent teacher, speaks with such clarity. However, I would like to ask if he would reiterate something or take it just a little further. In the last broadcast, you mentioned the importance of the fact that this scripture could possibly be taken out of context by some, Jeremiah 29:11. And what I'm wondering is this: God knows the plans that He has for us. We may not know His plans. So the question is, if we don't know the plans that God has for us, how can we be certain that what we are doing is in alignment with God's plans for us?
Let me see if I can address that this way, Bishop. In talking about walking with the Lord, that involves several things, actually. Number one, we need to stay in His Word, because God doesn't do anything outside of His Word. We know that. Number two, we need to call on and rely upon the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to reveal God's will for us. And number three, we also need to, when we're uncertain perhaps, call on those who we trust to pray and intercede with us to help us find God's will for our lives. And I guess as a closing thought to that, just to put an additional answer to your question, it's important that we be still in God's presence and allow Him to speak to us. As I said in the first broadcast, and I've said in other broadcasts, one of my favorite verses of Scripture is the one that says, "Be still and know that I am God." You can't hear God speaking if you're running all the time. You have to stop and be still to hear His voice. So all of those things go into hearing and understanding or discerning God's plan and will, and then allowing Him by the Holy Spirit to give you what you need to walk that plan and purpose out. I hope that helps to answer your question, Bishop Tindall.
Yes, it did, Bishop Crane, in a very beautiful way. I like the statement that you said, stand still and know that I am God.
Yes.
So when Moses led the children of Israel and they got to the Red Sea, they were not aware of God's plan at that moment except to go to the Promised Land, but all they could see was the Red Sea. And Moses, of course, had to remind them, as you pointed out, just stand still, and you will see the salvation of the Lord. If I may ask one more question, if I have another moment. The promise of God in Jeremiah 29:11, I know that that is for believers, but does it apply to unbelievers? Because we find that many times God will do things in the lives of unbelievers to cause them to become believers, as in the case of the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road.
Well, to address that portion of it, I do believe that God's promises will work in the unbeliever's life, as you say, to bring them to an acknowledgement and a realization of who God is in their lives and cause them to surrender themselves to His will, His plan, His purpose. God is not limited the way we are. He will use any situation and circumstance that is available to get our attention always. So He can do the same thing with the unbeliever. Then it becomes the responsibility of the unbeliever to respond to that either positively or to walk away from it. And if they choose to walk away from it, there are, of course, dire consequences, just as there are good consequences if we choose to walk with God.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much, Bishop.
Amen. Thank you so much, for Bishop Tindall, for calling in. Listeners, remember, press 1 on your phone if you have a question or comment. We have another caller at 973-901. Caller, are you there?
Caller, are you
there? 973-901. Caller, are you there? Okay, well, maybe we lost that caller. But again, press 1 on your phone, and then we will add you to the line so that your question or comment may be heard.
Teacher Tindall, looks like they are still there. Caller at 9, your area code is 973, and the first 3 exchanges on your phone is 901. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Hello? Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you, caller. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. This is Deaconess Miller. I'm from New Jersey. Pastor Brown was my pastor. And I just want to say I really enjoyed the message today, Bishop Kramer. And I just like to say that I know that God hears our prayer, you know, when we talk to him, but we have to stay in his will. You know, when we stay in God's will, there's nothing that he won't do for you. And I'm a witness, and that's what I wanted to say.
Amen.
Amen, Sister Miller. Thank you so much for calling in. And God bless you. Thank you for sharing.
Bless you too.
Are there other callers? Just press one on your phone. Okay, we have a question that came in on our chat room, Bishop Kramer. And that question is, I struggle to live and have faith. What do I do? I think that's the question.
Okay. If I heard that correctly, the listener says, I struggle to have faith and live according to faith, and what do I do about that? How do I deal with that?
Mm-hmm.
Listener, let me say this to you. I hear your heart. And for many of us, there are struggles in our faith walk. I mean, we're human after all. But the thing about it is, God said that in our weakness, his strength is made perfect.
Mm.
Remember that. In our weakness, his strength is made perfect. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? It means that even though I may be struggling to reach higher, if I will throw myself upon him and his faithfulness, his righteousness, he will work in me to raise up my spirit, my soul, my inner man in the power of his spirit. I mean, it would be foolish for us to say that we've arrived, because none of us have arrived. We wrestle all the time, but our warfare is not with the natural. It is with the spiritual. And the Bible says that he has given us weapons for warfare in the spirit. Our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And what are we talking about? Those things that hinder us. So if it's a fact that you're struggling to have faith, then remember this too. God's word says you have not because you ask not.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ask that your joy may be full.
Yes.
Let me say it again. You have not because you ask not. Ask that your joy might be full. God wants you to walk in faith and victory. But sometimes we have to just reach out and take hold of it. We have to take hold of it. That's that wrestling sometimes with God, saying, God, I'm not going to let go until you pour this in me and build me up. And listen, I hope that helps you a little bit.
Amen.
God bless
you. Amen. Thank you so much, Bishop Kramer. And we just thank God for you, under the leading of the Holy Spirit, to speak to us, to share with us what we need to know and how we can align ourselves to walk in God's way and in his purpose. And again, we want to thank you. And I know we have many listeners out there, and we just pray that this lesson will reside with you and resonate with you and all of us as we reach higher towards the mark that we're reaching for in the Lord. We're going to take a real quick break, and then we're coming back with two announcements, so don't go away.
Thank you, Teacher Tindall. During this sacred season of Lent, through Good Friday and our Sunday celebration services of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, please consider giving a special donation to the UFCCM. Please go to ufccm.org and click on the top banner that says, "Click for three ways to give." You'll be navigated to the page that will give you three opportunities to give. Again, you can go to ufccm.org and click on the top banner that says, "Click for three ways to give." You will then be navigated to the page that will give you three blessed opportunities to give. Teacher Tindall.
Bishop Haywood, I'm so glad Bishop Haywood, who's our program director, gave that information on giving, because I'm so happy to let you know that we are excited to begin our first fundraising drive. And as you know, it requires funds for us to do the work that God has assigned to us. And so we are asking you, our listeners, for your financial support. While this ministry is not about money, we do recognize and know that it costs money to produce shows and to do the things that we're doing and to put on conferences and so forth. So we are asking your support as we go into our fundraising campaign. We have prepared a beautiful 8.5 by 11 frameable poster, which features the acronym that Bishop Kramer spoke about, and also this 7-step blueprint from Jeremiah, which he shared with us, as we know that these are the things that we need in order to get into position to hear God's plan and purpose for our lives. We know that you're going to want one of these, and so because you can frame it to display it, or you can give it as a gift. And so for each caller or each contributor who gives a love gift of $12, we will send you this beautiful color-printed poster. And I know you're going to want to have one because it is beautiful and it is something that you can display and share. And for those who give a love gift of $25, we will send you this poster color-printed on parchment, again, which is something that you can frame and display. We're asking you to support us in this endeavor, because all of these contributions that you giving support the UFCCM. Amen. So we thank you for that. I also want to let you know that next month, in March, our April broadcast, which will be on Saturday, April 14th, will be our second anniversary show. God has blessed us to be on Blog Talk Radio for 2 years. Amen. And this promises to be an exciting and different laity outreach broadcast. And in this broadcast, we will be shining the spotlight on UFCCM laity. And if you want to know what that's all about, we encourage you to listen to the broadcast on Saturday, April 14th, at our usual time of 12 noon. And at this time, we want to thank you, our listeners. We want to thank again Bishop Kramer. And we ask you to go forth and continue to reach higher in the Lord. And Elder Hunt is coming before us now to bring us our closing prayer.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. Before I give our closing prayer, I just want to express my thanks to Bishop Kramer for that wonderful lesson and for that discussion on plans, meaning purpose laid out and new strategies released. How powerful and how wonderful. And I thank you for that instruction, Bishop Kramer. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, once again, we honor you, Heavenly Father, for your goodness and your love and your mercy. Father, thank you for those that you have called. Teach us, Lord God, and to open the word of the Lord so that it is revealed to us in its beauty, and Lord, and for the wonderful and magnificent way in which we're able to receive your word. And Father, as we go forth from this day, let us think on the things that we are taught. And Lord, let us go forth together saying, God, I need you, and I will not let you go until you bless me. Father, bless every caller. Bless all of those responsible for this mighty and wonderful work. Father, bless it and multiply it, and let it grow and prosper, and let many, many others continue to support this broadcast. Father, help us to give of our means and our resources to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. Father, we honor and we thank you. We pray for each and everyone who's on the line today. And Father God, bless us as we go now, and keep us in your will and show us your purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
There is a definite need for training the laity. The Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four USCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices, the laity. I would also point out that the Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four USCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. We have Ministry of Evangelism, Ministry of Communications, the Ministry of Laity Training, and also the Ministry of Clergy Training.